Good morning or good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for inviting me to come and share with you about the work of Nightlight. And as I was sitting listening to the children's address, I thought, you don't need me now. Your minister has told you everything you need to know. But as I was sitting there thinking, I thought about all the different stories of all the different people that we meet when we're out on the streets of Belfast. We're out on a Friday and Saturday night. We meet around 11 o'clock, just around the corner from where you saw the photograph. And in that photograph is a place called Bradbury Place, and it's one of the most dangerous places in Belfast, to be honest. The police are never away from there. There's always fights. There's people getting hospitalised because there's several clubs around there. There's one of the clubs is notorious for drugs and alcohol. Well, all clubs are notorious for alcohol, but there's a lot of drugs going on in one of the clubs around there. And unfortunately, some of the staff are turning a blind eye to it. And so there's a lot of people getting high on legal highs, taking ecstasy, and all sorts of different things in there. Whenever we meet, whenever the team meets, we have about 10, 15 people would meet at the weekends. And we would have our time of devotions and our prayer time. We chat amongst ourselves about the different people that we've met every weekend. Some people we meet and we don't know if we're going to see them again. And others we see every weekend, every Friday and every Saturday night, which has allowed us over the years to build up relationships with them, as was mentioned earlier on. So once we head out from the team room, we break into different groups, and there's several of us. There's one group who go around into the Cathedral Quarter on a Friday night. There's one group who go around the city centre, around with the homeless people. And there's a group of us who would stay in Botanic, around the clubs there. The other team leader, Brian, he would take a group into the Cathedral Quarter. He used to be in the Odyssey on a Friday and a Saturday night, and he's just there on a Saturday. I'll tell you what happened with the Odyssey, why he's only there on a Saturday now. 10 years ago, Brian started full-time in the Odyssey to talk with the door staff, talk with all the ones who are coming in and out of the clubs, all the security. And the guy who was head of security in the Odyssey at the time called him over. And this guy is a big guy, and you wouldn't mess with him. Now, he didn't really know Brian at the time. He didn't know his sense of humor. So he called Brian over, and he says to him, he says, Brian, why are you here? Why do you come to the Odyssey on a Friday and a Saturday night? And Brian said to him, two reasons. One is, Jesus has changed my life. He has transformed my life. I have something special in my life and I want to share that with everybody. And around here, I can share that with people. He says, my second reason is I want to close this place down. And the head of security half laughed at him. Bran has a really good sense of humor. Now, he was half joking when he said this. He says, I'm going to pray. I'm really going to pray and I'm going to close this place down. So that was grand. Back then, there were 7 nightclubs in a very small area. If anybody has been in the Odyssey, there are 7 nightclubs there. And one of the nightclubs had a license for 2,000 people. So back then, on a Friday night, you would have had 12 to 14,000 people in that area. All out for a good night, all out getting drunk. So Brian said to him that he was going to start praying, really praying, and he was going to close the place. A couple of years later, he arrived into the Odyssey, and one of the other security guys said to him, head of security's looking for you. And Brian was like, okay. So he got sent to the office where the head of security is. And the guy said to him, Brian, are you praying? And he says, yes. He says, I'm praying all the time for this place. I'm praying for the people that I meet, praying for conversations, praying for opportunities. He says, Brian, your prayers are working. He says, because one of the clubs is closed. Now, he's been there for 10 years now, and out of the 7 clubs, there's one left. And it's about to shut its doors as well. So they're seeing answers to prayer. Even though it's actually the head of security has moved on, he's moved to a different place. He was in a very cushy job in the Odyssey. He didn't really have to do very much. But now he has to he's moved to a hotel. And he has to work now that he's in this hotel. But whenever he moved into the city centre, Bran now calls, whenever he comes back from the cathedral quarter, he calls into this particular hotel. And he talks to this guy. I've met him once, and his brother is in a different hotel just a couple of blocks down. So we're still getting the opportunity to build up the relationships with him, and Brian gets a chance to witness to him. The rest of the team, there's a few of them who go around the city centre, right from Botanic through to the Cathedral Quarter, around the City Hall, around where High Street and in and around there, if anybody knows Belfast. They would take a backpack with them with a flask, and they would go around all the doorways, all the shop doorways, to find the homeless ones, to find the ones who are sleeping in the doorways. They know of about 26 people in that, it would be about a mile. They know 26 people. A lot of them are foreign nationals, and some of them would be trafficked in. And once they have spent a certain length of time in one area, they get moved on. And you can see the cars coming to pick them up, and to change shift, someone else is left there instead. There are more females becoming homeless in our streets. The drug problem in our country is horrendous. Just a number of weeks ago, I was given information that a bad batch of heroin had hit the streets, had hit one of the hostels. Now, the hostels in Belfast are supposed to be safe for people coming out of prison, for people being rejected by others and losing their homes and not having anywhere else to go. They're supposed to be safe for the people. There are enough beds in Belfast to house all the homeless people that we have, all the rough sleepers that we have, but the hostels are too dangerous for them to go into. And Bran and I have the privilege of being on a group called the Nighttime Steering Group, which organises all the different charities that go out and around and helping the homeless people. And the director of homelessness said there are enough beds to cover and to help all the people, but she doesn't see the deeper issues. She doesn't have the time to spend chatting with the homeless people. We have the privilege where we have the time to sit and get to know them, to get to know their stories, and to hear what's going on in the hostels. And then Bran and I pass on that information to the ones who can hopefully do something about it. But it's slow work. It really is slow work. And there's times I'm beating my head off a brick wall trying to get something sorted out, and Bran has heard all my venting. So if you could pray for the ones who are trying, the hierarchy as I call them, to help the homeless situation in our city, because they're not working fast enough. And we've heard so many complaints from other people that we do have the people there, but they're not seeing the bigger issues, unfortunately. Last night, whenever we were out, I was walking around Botanic, and which is near where the photograph was. There's a young lad who sits across from the church. He's 22 years old. He has a list of convictions. He's in and out of Hyde Bank. He's addicted to heroin. He's a dealer. He's very violent. And he was sitting in a very big sleeping bag against one of the walls, out cold. It's the only place he can get peace to sleep, beside one of the shops. I didn't waken him, because if you do waken someone who's homeless or sleeping on the streets, there's a very high chance you will get hurt. So I didn't waken him. Even though he knows the team, we didn't take the chance to waken him. A number of months ago, the team was around in the city centre, as usual, talking to different people, helping people. This young girl came over. She saw we have jackets with the Nightlight logo on the side so that we're identified. And this young girl came over. She was 23, I think. Yeah, 23. She came over because she saw the badges and knew, and was watching the team and knew that these guys were helping people. So she came over and started talking to them. She was suicidal. She had come out of foster care, and she was fighting to get her daughter out of foster care, her daughter who was 3 at the time. And the team spoke with her, and she was on her way to throw herself into the River Lagan. Every weekend, no exaggeration, every weekend there's someone throws themselves into the River Lagan. On a Saturday night, usually, and the water rescue are out trying to lift them back out again. For one reason or another, they are in the water. But she was about to do that, and the team brought her round to the church where we have tea and coffee. Once the team come back, we have tea and coffee. We invite people to stop, the ones who are going past. We chatted with her. We told her about Jesus. We got that opportunity to tell her about Jesus and his love for her, because she felt rejected by everybody. She just felt useless. And she wasn't any good to anybody, but she heard the gospel. She didn't make a commitment, but she left with a smile because she knew that she was cared for. A few weeks later, we bumped into her again, and we got chatting with her. We exchanged phone numbers so we could get in contact with her. And we tried ringing her a couple of days later, but she didn't answer her phone. She phoned into the office a few days later, and I'd said to her, "Tried to ring you, but you didn't answer your phone." And she says, "I know, I saw your call, but I couldn't because I was recovering from suicide, or attempt on suicide." She came to my church on Good Friday and saw the Billy Graham DVD, and praise God, she saw her need of a saviour, and she made a commitment that night. She then started meeting with the team for discipleship and for fellowship, and she was coming out with the team, and that the first night out she was able to give her testimony to someone. But, well, thankfully she had made a commitment, and she got her daughter out of foster care, and she spent a lot of time with the team. But unfortunately her past life caught up with her. And don't know if that contributed to this, but in October there was three of us unfortunately attended her funeral. She died in her sleep, and her daughter found her. But thankfully she had made that commitment to Christ, and she's in his kingdom. There's another one of the bouncers we were talking to, we see, because we go to the clubs as well, we get to know a lot of the bouncers. And one of the guys, Bran was talking to him, and he's a boxer, and he decided to show Bran some boxing moves. So he playfully hit Brian just on the front of his jacket, but hurt his hand. And whenever Brian told us this, I thought, how did a bouncer hurt his hand hitting you? Because Brian's not much bigger than me. I mean, he's not much wider than me. And the guy said to me, says, "Brian, what is in your jacket? I've hit something hard." So Brian opened his jacket and took out a hardback copy of the Bible. And the guy says, "Well, that puts a different light in Bible bashing." Last night we were out, and one of the clubs we go to every weekend, and we were standing chatting with the door staff. There was this guy, he had been in for the rugby earlier, he was very drunk, and he was put out and tried to get back in again, but there was no chance of him getting in, and he stayed there for several hours. I mean, the club closed its doors at 1:30, and he was out there from about 9:30 at night. But honestly, I really don't know what planet he was on, but he wasn't on planet Earth. And at one stage, two of the bouncers looked down from the balcony. There's two floors. They looked down from the balcony and watched this guy in sheer disbelief. And I thought, why are you surprised at this? You see so many of these characters every weekend. And at one stage, one of the bouncers says that the mothership's coming for him. I mean, he really was spaced. I don't know whether he'd taken anything, whether his drink had been spiked, or what had happened. I mean, we couldn't get any conversation with him. Well, he was, I think... Well, he said he was Italian, but one of the bouncers says, I think he's Portuguese. And I was hoping he could translate, because this other bouncer is actually, he's Spanish. There are similarities. But the sights that we see in Botanic, especially on a full moon, you would need to be there to see it, to be, you know, to believe it. We have a great relationship with a lot of the door staff in the town. A number of months ago, there was a serious sexual assault on a girl. We weren't in the town whenever this happened, but the tension in the town, you could have cut it with a knife. And because it was a foreigner who carried out the assault, every foreigner was looked down on. And we have a lot of foreign nationals. So one of our team was given tea and coffee to a foreign national outside one of the most dangerous clubs in the city. And a local came over to her and started swearing at her and giving her all sorts of abuse. And one of the bouncers, using sign language to her, said to her, "Are you okay?" And she says, "Yeah, he's just mouthing off. He's just, you know, being the usual." And literally within about 2 seconds, she had 5 bouncers around her, because they saw him as being aggressive. They see her as a friend. She's there to help them. She's there to show them that she cares. I mean, there's 5 or 6 of them who go around to this particular nightclub. But that goes for all the clubs whenever we go to see the door staff, because they put up with so much abuse from all these drunks who come out of the club, the ones who are causing hassle. And the door staff, not only are the ones who are out looking for a good night out, are hoping to have a good night out, and they get drunk and high on drugs and whatever else they can get their hands on, But the door staff also have troubles. They also have their personal troubles as well. And keeping in touch with them is showing them God's love. And we've become friends with a few of them. There's one particular guy who travels an hour and a half every time he works in the city centre. And he is going through a horrendous time at the moment. And there's a couple of us who are trying to spend as much time talking with him and, you know, spending time with him as we can, because he's not a Christian yet, but he is reading the scriptures, he is reading books, and he's asked us for copies of our devotional time that we would have together. And there's a lot going on within his family. His dad is very ill at the moment, and he's down to his last few weeks. And it's helping him through this storm, because he doesn't know how to do it. And there are so many things going on. The number of girls that we would see in the city centre who have lost their friends and who have no power left on their mobiles to find where their friends are to ring them. One girl came around or passed the church one night and she was really distressed. We invited her in, gave her a cup of tea, calmed her down, was able to talk to her and shared with her about Jesus. And so she had no idea where her friends were. She couldn't find them. She couldn't ring them. And we prayed. 10 minutes later, her friends came into the church looking for her. We had no idea where they came from. We had no idea what club they came from. They were just looking everywhere for her. And eventually they stopped in the church because the lights are on. And they came in thinking, she could be in here because the lights are on. And thankfully, they find her. And we were able to talk to them as well. Last year, we went to a big concert. I don't know if any of you have heard of it. It's called Tea Vital, or Tennis Vital, I should say. And there are thousands upon thousands of young people that go to it, and Nightlight have been asked to help out at it. We do the same thing as we do in the Golden Mile, except round in Boucher in Belfast. And we found this young girl who was quite distressed. She had left her friends to go to the bathroom, came back to where she thought they were, and of course they weren't. And trying to find your friends in a group of about 50 to 60,000 people is not an easy thing to do. And we decided, because she lived not too far away, we thought, right, we'll walk her to the car and we'll get her a few streets away. We had no idea who she was, no idea who her friends were. Took us 3/4 of an hour to talk her into coming with us, because she didn't know who we were, even though we had our jackets on. So we got her up onto her feet and tried to walk her across the road and walked her down. Now it took us about 15 minutes from when she stood up, it took us about 15 minutes to get her to the bottom of the street and halfway across the road. Now there was a sea of people, there were thousands of people trying to get out of the playing fields in Boucher. And there's no way you could find anybody in that place. And we were walking down one side of the road and one of our team said, the car's on the other side, maybe we should start walking across the road, try to get through the crowd, and the car's just down the street. So, yep, that sounds like a good idea. So we started walking through the crowds. We got halfway across that road, and we heard her name. And I don't know how it happened. It had to be God. Because whenever the team member said, let's go across the road, it was perfect timing. Because as we got halfway across the road, she ran into her friends. And I mean, we'd still talk about it, from last August. How? I mean, there's no way we could have planned that. There's no way. Every year, the moderator comes out with Nightlight. And a few years ago, the moderator was Rob Craig, who's in Kilfenan Presbyterian in Derry. I have to be careful how I say that, because one of the bouncers is from that neck of the woods and says it a little bit differently. You can imagine. And they went into a club in the cathedral quarter called the Dirty Onion. And Brian takes every moderator in there. And we thought, this is great. The moderator's in one of the clubs here. This is brilliant. They were starting chatting away. And this young lad came over and said to the moderator, or chatted away a bit to the two of them, and asked who they were. And whenever the moderator says, well, I'm the moderator, and the guy, he should have spoken a different language, because the guy had no idea what the moderator was. So we explained to him. He was the head of one of the denominations in the church. And whenever the guy realized, you're from the church, instead of saying, oh, get away from me, I know I'm not interested, don't want you preaching at me, he took one look at the moderator and he says, what took you so long? what took you so long? This is where the church should be, in these clubs. He says, I can't wait to get to my dad's tomorrow for lunch. My dad's brethren. And wait till I tell him that I met the church in one of the biggest clubs in Belfast at 1 o'clock in the morning. He couldn't wait to get home. One of the bouncers, whenever I was going over to one of the clubs one night, called me over and says, come on, you have to come upstairs. There's two live bands, one upstairs and one downstairs. He says, come on, you have to come up here and listen to this song. They're playing your song. And I thought, my song? Okay. So I went upstairs. Can't remember what group it was playing, but the title of the song was Stairway to Heaven. He knows we're Christians. Another one of the door staff said to me one night, I took this as great encouragement. There was another group of Christians who were out and preaching at people with open Bibles and tracts. That doesn't work at the nightclubs. It really doesn't work. And one of the guys said to us, you guys have got it right. You just come over. And if we want to talk, we talk. And if we don't, we don't have to. And because of trying to befriend them, just being there and trying to help them, and on occasions they have actually gotten in contact with us and asked us to take away one of the drunks, if it's a distressed female who's on their own. Because most of the clubs have male bouncers, they can't do, you know, do that with females, so they need someone else to help them. And they call on us because of the relationship that we've been able to build with them. A couple of the guys would come over to us after their shift, and one night one of them was sitting in our team room and he lifted a tract and started reading it. And he started asking questions about it, and the same happened on Friday night. He lifted a book about evangelism and started reading it. And he has trouble reading, but whenever he started reading that book, the rest of it just, we didn't interrupt him, because it was a book on evangelism, and then it gave us the opportunity to talk to him, to answer his questions. There's a lot of work going on out there. There's a lot of people out there who are going to a lost eternity. And just by being there, by being a light in that darkness, by being available, that's what God wants us to do. No matter where we are, that's what he wants us to do. And there are so many ways you can do that. You can be out there in the nightclubs. You can be giving out a cup of tea or coffee. You can be chatting with people. You can be walking them to a taxi rank. You could be taking them up to the hospital. You could be taking them around to the police because they've been assaulted or they've had something stolen. Be chatting to them outside a club. Or you could be listening to them. Listening is a big thing with us. Or you could be handing them a cup of water. It doesn't matter. If it's done in the name of Jesus, if it's done for the sake of the kingdom, if you're available, God wants to use you. And it doesn't have to be out in the nightclubs. It doesn't have to be out in the streets. It can be over the hedge to your next door neighbor. It can be your family who aren't yet Christians. It can be anybody. As long as you make yourself available, God can use you. And whether you're in some sort of position in government, or whether you're handing out a cup of tea or coffee, or you're sweeping the floor, every job is essential. And there's no levels of importance. Every job is essential. If you're doing it for God, that's your job for God. And that is vital to his plan. But how can you get involved in Nightlight if you want to get involved? There's several ways. You can come on a night tour and you'll be out with the team and you'll see how the work happens. Because we're out until about 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, that's quite late, but between 3 and 4 in the morning. And the youngest is 18, the minimum age is 18, and there's no upper age. Because our oldest team member is about to turn 82, and he's out every other Saturday night, and he keeps me right. He's my dad. He keeps me right. And it's incredible the conversations he gets into. But, I mean, he's not the only one. The rest of the team do get into incredible situations and incredible conversations. The other way you can get involved is through prayer. If we didn't have prayer partners, prayer warriors, we couldn't be out there. We need that partnership. We need as many people to pray for us as possible. Because we need wisdom. We need safety when we're out there. You know, that we pray for the right words to say, and we do pray for opportunities, and we pray that God will show us when to speak and when not to speak. Because sometimes not speaking speaks louder than speaking to someone. And as the saying goes, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. We look for the practical side, and the practical side more often leads to that conversation, because people out there want to know why you're there, why you're sober, why you're out there at 1 o'clock in the morning and sober and happy. You might not be happy in here, but we have the contentment in our hearts. There may be things that are in your life that are really worrying you, but being out there and sharing that with people, yes, you're going through a storm yourself, but it's how God is helping you deal with that storm, and that helps people. Because the guy I was talking about earlier, who's going through a storm with his dad at the minute, one of our team is going through a storm with her husband, and she's able to relate that to him, and they're able to have good conversations. So whatever is going on in your life, God can use that to relate to someone else, to help them through a tough time. So yes, pray for us and come out with us. If you come out for one night, it doesn't commit you to coming out every weekend. It allows you to see what happens in our city. And we're not the only team. There are teams everywhere. There's a team in Ballymena. As far as I know, it's still running. It goes from the Victory Praise Centre. It's Club Reach. As far as I know, it's still running. There's one in Macrofelt. There used to be one in Cookstown. There's one in Newtownards. Others, there's loads. It's not just nightlight. It's nightlight style teams. And they're everywhere. And you can be, wherever you are, you can be used by God. In your situation, God can use you. So pray for us. Come and join us for a night. See what God's doing. Be a part of his plan. Because God has a plan for everyone. Thank you for listening. And thank you again for the opportunity.